All right, well, praise God. Let's turn to the Word. And I want to talk about a ministry that we don't always talk about this morning. And get a chance to speak to this. And I felt the Lord kind of was changing the direction of sermon preparation this week and kind of highlighting this. And I said, okay, Lord, that's what you want me to talk on. Let's focus there. I don't think I haven't spoken on this ministry. And I'm going to get to what this ministry is. But I think it's very close to the heart of God. Very much so. Now, let's start with a story, right? Y'all remember Zacchaeus? You know who Zacchaeus, the wee little man. Probably all know the story because we can probably remember, maybe if you're in Sunday school, maybe you were in those years hearing the story of Zacchaeus. Maybe you acted it out. Maybe you climbed a tree. Who knows? You might have been the person who climbed the tree. But you remember the story of Zacchaeus. You know, Jesus spoke some powerful words to Zacchaeus that forever changed his life. We probably remember them. He said, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down from that tree. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus was a small man of stature, but he was wealthy because of his work. Now, his work brought him wealth, but his work also brought him things that he didn't want. He was despised. He was not loved. He was unwanted because of the kind of work he did. He took advantage of Jews as a tax collector. Worked for the Romans. He was not liked. In fact, he was hated. This really what amounted to is a Jewish traitor. So he was shunned and despised in his own community. But the day Zacchaeus came searching for Jesus to see who Jesus was the day that Jesus found Zacchaeus, knowing exactly where he was. It was on this day that Jesus asked for Zacchaeus' hospitality. He says, I'm asking something of you today. It's time to go to your house. A house that no Jew would want to go to. Wouldn't want to go over and fellowship with Zacchaeus. No, wouldn't want to be caught dead there. No good Jew would want to be in the house of a tax collector. So Zacchaeus was stunned. He was stunned in a good way that Jesus was going to include him in fellowship. This changed the heart of Zacchaeus, who immediately repented. Right? We remember this story. It's in Luke, found in Luke 19. In Luke 19, I'm going to pick up in just verse 6. It says, when Jesus reached the spot where Zacchaeus was in that tree, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner, a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I want to talk about inclusion in a good way, in a way that Zacchaeus experienced it in his own life. I have a question here. It says, conclusion in the family of God lead to repentance? And I think when we read the story of Zacchaeus, we can say, well, yes. Yes, it can. That inviting and welcoming, including fellowshipping with others can be powerful ministries of God. And Jesus gives us the example here of what he does and extends to Zacchaeus, something that no other religious figure would have extended to Zacchaeus in that day. Nobody else would have done that because, again, he was shunned, he was despised, he was pushed away for the man he was and what he did. But Jesus takes a whole different approach. He says, I'm coming to fellowship with you. Open your house. We're going to join together and dine together and eat together. Well, this was shocking, and this did kind of flip the whole script of life for Zacchaeus that day. He was being included. He was a son of Abraham. And it led to his repentance, to no longer live in the way that he lived. You know, every church community really has a need here, has a need to discuss, to talk about, to consider, to evaluate, and to operate a ministry of welcoming and inviting and reaching out. A ministry that I want to really focus on this morning is a ministry of hospitality. It's crucial to the church. It's crucial to God. I want to take a look at this important ministry in the Bible and how it operates in our lives. First, I want to look at the word itself, hospitality, that the Greek word that's translated as hospitality. The word is, I probably won't say it right, but it's philoxenia, which really can be translated as love of strangers. The word, in fact, is two words. Philo, which is like a beloved, beloved as a close friend. We get phileo love, friendship love. So philo is beloved, like a close friend. And xenia is strangers. So it's really the love of strangers, like treating strangers like a friend. A friend. We can see this word in action in Hebrews 13, verse 2. It says, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers." Oh, that's where that word really does come alive. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. An expanded definition of this Greek word is to show warmth, proper warmth, friendliness to strangers. The readiness to share hospitality or generosity by entertaining in one's home. So you see there's a giving involved here. There's a sharing involved here. Now there is a word in our society that is a contrast word, a word that contrasts against this word. And in our culture, we've heard it probably quite often. We see it talked about. It's called xenophobia. You ever heard of that word, xenophobia? Well, xenophobia is a dislike or a hatred or a fear of outsiders or strangers. You ever have xenophobia? Ever experience, we ever see that in society where the unknown and the stranger, stay away, keep away, the fear of strangers. It's a totally opposite word of what was intended by this Greek word for hospitality. Maybe you didn't know that. I didn't know that word until I saw it in the Greek and said, oh, wow. Hospitality, love of strangers. The Bible puts great regard in showing care and generosity to those who are not our friends, those we don't yet know. But it approaches people in a different way. People we don't know, but yet it says it opens the door to know them. In biblical culture, it certainly meant opening one's home for fellowship. They didn't have a lot of hotels back then. They didn't have a lot of Hyatts and Spring Hills and different things. So when you ventured into towns, you oftentimes would stay with people. It was good to open your home and to show hospitality to those who were coming through and journeying through. This also can be the same, you know, for our culture too. You know, opening our home is showing hospitality. But in the bigger picture, I think it's more important to look at saying it's the opening of our lives to share with others. The opening of our lives. One general way to think about hospitality biblically is to offer our friendship to others. What a wonderful thing that is. What a powerful thing that is to be able to offer our friendship to a stranger, to somebody who walks in the door and doesn't know anybody, to offer your friendship to them is very valuable. And how significant it is to that person. So how do we do this? How do we do that in our lives, going day in and day out? Now, I want to just look at a few things here. So I want to make sure we don't misunderstand biblical hospitality. We'll define it a little bit more concretely. Biblical hospitality is more than just good hosting, right? Good hosting is important. We host in our home. We host in different places. Good hosting is important, but it's more than this. And I want to separate two ideas that sometimes in our culture are considered synonymous. The two words there is hospitality and entertaining. I want to tell you, they're not one and the same. They can be different. There's an important difference between hospitality and entertaining, and really, while they can look the same, there's an important distinction. And it really goes, that distinction really goes to the motivation of the heart. Okay? Now, I can entertain guests all day and not necessarily be showing hospitality, not in the biblical sense, because I can entertain guests with selfish motives. What do I mean? Maybe I want to impress some people. Maybe I want some people to think I'm big stuff. And so I'm really going to lay it out and throw it on thick and just put a great spread out and maybe spend more money than I even have in the bank to throw a big party. Because I want to be impressive. I want to win their favor, maybe, for my purposes. I want to win over their favor. Or I want to have a certain social status or certain social functioning in society. Maybe I want that. Serving is involved, but the purpose really reflects back to my self-interest. It's about me, really. I mean, I could be the greatest Martha Stewart the world has ever known, or the greatest Bobby Flay chef that cooks the greatest food. I mean, I can get a great reputation for doing amazing things. That's wonderful. That's nice. It's not wrong to entertain, but don't necessarily mistake it for hospitality. Okay? It's not about the best spread or the best party or the best this, that, and the other that we can possibly put on. You see, hospitality has a motivation behind it that's important. Biblical hospitality. It really seeks the good of others. It really seeks to bless others and do for others. It's to care for others, to honor them, to build them up. And also another thing that hospitality does, it builds community. Hospitality done well builds community. It helps people belong that maybe didn't belong before. There's something really significant to the heart of God in this word, this showing forth of hospitality. And we can practice hospitality to anyone. Those who are not like us. Those who are different than us. Those who are in the body of Christ. Those who are not in the body of Christ. We can show hospitality. In fact, you can show hospitality to anyone. And really, it comes back to a underlying understanding of who people are. That people are created in the image of God. You may have heard the Latin, Imago Dei. Created in the image of God. We get it out of Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Every person is made in the image of God. Now maybe what they reflect is a brokenness in how they reflect the image, and we do too. We have a brokenness in how we reflect the image of God as well. But it's foundational to understanding hospitality is to see that everybody's made in the image of God. Even though sometimes it may be hidden, it's there. Even those who rebel against God, even though those people who turn their back against God, they're still made in the image of God. They may refuse God. They may seek to create a life totally apart from God. And maybe you did too at one time, at one stage of your life. But thank God you were not beyond redemption. You were still made in the image of God, as we all are. We're called to all be in a relationship with God. And when we have that underlining understanding of that, we can invite, we can welcome, we can love, knowing that even the rebel who maybe doesn't want anything to do with God can receive our hospitality and our love. We can serve people simply based on this God-given value. Now, 1 Peter 4 tells us how we should offer hospitality. Verse 8, it says, above all, love each other deeply. Love each other deeply. Because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Wow, it says the way we love each other is really powerful. It says the way we offer each other care and love and kindness and goodness, it actually can lead people away from their sins. It actually could lead people to God by showing the hospitality that God calls us to show to one another, to those who are not in the body of Christ. See, serving without grumbling takes growth in our Christian walk. Sometimes we can do it. We can serve. We can give. And well, those people didn't really appreciate it. I don't think they really cared. We can grumble. We can be upset. We can be even about the people that we might be trying to serve. But it goes back to the motivation of the heart. And it is a calling for us to grow because it says, oh, maybe my love, the way it is now, is not able to extend to everybody. Not everybody, right? Because do we show hospitality only to people we like? The people who are like us? Or can we show a hospitality to people we don't like? Or maybe we like them, fine, but they don't seem to like us. Is it hard to show hospitality to people who just don't seem to like us? Maybe they have some prejudice against us. Maybe they have something against us that they think we are a certain kind of person, but maybe that's really not who we are. So maybe by showing love and showing the goodness of God and God's care for them, we're going to show them something different. How is our hospitality? How is our hospitality to people who we don't like or they don't like us? Do we have to get anything in return? Well, that's always a tough question. Do we have to get anything in return? You know, is our effort to give wasted if people don't appreciate it? They don't appreciate our giving. Is it wasted? Ultimately, what is our motivation for giving? What is our motivation for serving? What is our motivation for caring for others? You know, we all must remember what it's like to receive hospitality, to receive great hospitality when people have loved on us. We've all been in that place where maybe we were the stranger in a new place. We walked in and we've probably experienced it both ways. We've probably experienced the, hey, I'm invisible around here. I don't think anybody notices me. Or they don't want to. And we've been in those situations where we felt loved, we felt welcomed, we felt invited. We felt like it mattered that we were there. Where did somebody go out of their way to meet you? Not because they had to, but because they wanted to. You never felt like you owed them anything. They never gave you that feeling. They never used you to get something from you. They didn't do that either. You simply felt cared for and you felt loved. It was sincere, it was genuine, and it impacted you to see that you had worth in their eyes. How did it impact you when you experienced that hospitality? You know, I can remember people from places in the past. There's numerous people from the places in the past who were hospitable to us when we were, so to speak, strangers or new to a place. There's some names, and I want to listen here. Like, I'm just out of to honor them. Elio and Fatima Silva, remember, years ago, being in a new church. They immediately invited us into their home, and we had dinner, and we had many dinners over time as we were invited to their small group and joined in, and they had an open home for us, Bob and Teresa Workman. I remember the first time we went to Cornerstone, they were probably some of the first people who greeted us, invited us out to eat, and later into their home, Claude and Denise Armstrong. Wonderful people who, again, made their home a place of coming and joining in fellowship with other people as they invited people into their house to fellowship together. And I have two people here, Mike and Helen Griffin, who've opened their home to us as well and invited us in and said, you know what? I see you as someone I want to offer my friendship to. And that's precious. Because I tell you, we've been in those situations. We've been in churches where it seems like we can't make friends. Because, you know, people are nice. People will treat you nice. And I'm going to talk about that in a second. But that's good. But the availability of friendship is just not there. It's kind of like knocking on a door. But it's wonderful when people say, no, we're offering you our friendship. Because we value who you are. We value you. It has meant something to us over the years. And it's something God has called us to do. So you remember the impact of that hospitality in your own life. So now, how do you show that same regard to others? In your workplace, in your home, at church, different places that you go to. How about the person that it seems like it's hard for that person to make friends in that place? Maybe they're new, maybe whatever it is. I mean, I don't know. I've experienced. Have you ever had the small town experience? Well, I know what it's like to live in a small town that I was not from. And everybody was from that small town. And they had their friends. And they had their family. Generations of family. And you're the newbie. One guy who had that experience, he said, I've lived here 10 years and I'm still the new guy. It's a small town experience. You're welcomed, but you're just not one of us. Have you ever felt that? I know what that's like. And it's wonderful when people open their doors to you and open their home and say, come on in. Let's have fellowship together. So how do we show hospitality in our own lives? It really, where we honor other people over ourselves, where it's not self-serving, it can be difficult, right? And it really has us to reflect as how do we do that? And it's not easy, but this is what it calls us to do. It calls us to grow, right? It calls us to grow. Because we realize when we look at the Bible, hospitality is absolutely a part of the kingdom of God. It's kingdom life in Christ. It's what Christ did. It's what he calls us to do. It's a way of life we're called to live, and it requires us to personally grow, to expand our love, to expand our tent and who's allowed in. The motivation of our heart is so crucial to good hospitality. It's literally like Christ showing love to strangers he met. He calls us to do it too. So what we do for others matters. It really does. It matters to them. It matters to us. It matters to God. It matters. The Bible says that when we show hospitality to the stranger, we may even be entertaining angels. You never know. We never know who we might serve. Even Jesus said that what we do for others, we do for him. Very clearly in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus discusses the behavior of those who inherit the kingdom of God. Let's talk about the behavior of those who inherit the kingdom of God. Out of Matthew 25, verse 34, Jesus is speaking. He says about a king. He says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it for the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful principle that God is trying to get. Jesus is speaking to us to say, what you do for the least of these, those who don't have, those who are on the outside looking in, strangers, people who lack, people who are in need, people who are outcast, people who are shunned by society. What you did for the least of these, you did it for me. Wow. Does that change the way we will do hospitality? When we think, you know, it's not necessarily always about me or the person. It's about what God has called me to do. And if I can do it and reflect Christ and do it as I would do it to the Lord, boy, that changes everything. Now, we can literally give to others as we would give to Jesus, as we would give to him. And we don't know. But we do know that God cares for the outcast. He cares for the poor. He cares for the stranger. He cares for the person who doesn't love themselves or doesn't feel very loved by others. But when we show, sometimes we don't know. We don't know what people are going through, but when we show love, when we show hospitality, we are serving that person. It's metaphorically like saying we're washing their feet. We're doing something for them that maybe they just don't have it in their life. They don't have that care, that love, that blessing. Romans 12, 9 through 13 continue just to speak to the church and how we're to live. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. You know, that practice doesn't mean a one-time thing, right? It means practice. It's a lifestyle. It's a living on how we live. And hospitality is not just for the strangers we don't know, because the Bible does clearly say it's for the body of Christ. It's how we treat one another. God's pretty clear. It says, they shall know me by your love. How you treat one another. How you care for one another. What you do for each other. People will see the love of God in that, and they'll recognize it. So as a church, we practice hospitality to those we know and those we don't know. And there's people in church we don't know. And there's people from other churches we've never met. We're serving a church in Thailand. We may never meet them. Probably won't. But we are serving them in a way. We're serving them. I almost feel like we can write them and say we are so thankful for them and what they're doing. So as a church, we're to practice hospitality. As people, we're to practice hospitality. And we just sometimes need to say, what does that look like? What does that look like in my life? What does that look like in our lives? How does that look? What form does it take on? You know, we have a motto in this church, right? We say, welcome home. In fact, she's out there, right, on the foyer. Welcome home. So that's saying the doors are open, right? The doors are open. You have a place here. You're welcome to this place. And it's important that when we say that, we 100% absolutely mean it, right? And I think we do. But it's important because it says love must be sincere, right? Love must be sincere. as the Roman passage calls us. So we do, we welcome people in this place. But we consider it and we think about it, we meditate on it because we say, okay, how are we living that out? Or can we live that out more fully? Can we live it out more fully? How do we practice this ministry? In the walls and outside the walls. How do we practice that? It's a challenge for each of us to consider in what ways we practice this ministry. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for me to consider, how do I practice this ministry on an ongoing basis? I think it's also important to consider what level of hospitality we have, because I'm going to use a phrase here, and it's my phrase. It's kind of how I think about this. Maybe you've thought about this too, but there's one time of hospitality that we've all experienced. It's the type that says, make yourself at home. Now, that's generally a well-received phrase, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, make yourself at home, which means you can usually take off your shoes, and the fridge is open, and there's towels in the closet if you need to take bathrooms down the hall, if you need a shower. I mean, it is welcoming. But what I also usually get from that phrase is that you're welcome to stay, but find your own way around. Like, here's the fridge, here's the bathroom, here's, welcome home. But underlying that, at least sometimes I've experienced, is that I'm busy, we're busy. Make yourself at home because I've got a lot of things going on right now and I don't have time to sit down with you. It doesn't necessarily offer relationship, is what I'm saying. It doesn't necessarily, it can. I'm not saying every time you say that. But sometimes that phrase for me is like, well, will we have time to spend? Will we have time to come together? It could be, but if it just means, you know, find your way. The doors are open. You're welcome in this house. But it doesn't offer relationship. It really falls short. It really falls short of biblical hospitality. Because biblical hospitality offers relationship. It offers friendship. It invites people to share their lives with us. We're willing to share our life with them. Maybe it's around some soup. Doesn't have to be caviar. It could just be soup and bread. But it invites a fellowship, a connection. It goes beyond the surface. And serving gets involved. Serving one another. And even metaphorically washing feet. Caring for a person. Sometimes helping them find their way. So we go beyond just make yourself at home. Because biblical hospitality goes beyond this. We want to get to know people. And we want them to join into a community that they're welcomed. But as we go towards Jesus, we invite them to come into this life of the community that says, hey, we're going to Jesus. Join us. Because we want you to walk with Jesus too. Walk with us as we walk and we go after Jesus. And we want you to be a part of that. And you're welcomed here no matter what your background, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've experienced. Because that's going to be pretty wide and various. Some people will be eager, and some people will want to know, do you really mean it? Do you really mean what you say? And sometimes it's going to take time for barriers to fall because people really want to know, are we sincere? They want to know if you're sincere. And sometimes people won't accept. But we give hospitality anyway. We extend ourselves to others. We go beyond, and with that, and doing that, we go beyond what is comfortable. Because if it's just that people come in and they're welcome to the fridge, we won't really be offering them relationship that offers them community. Because if we're building community, the door is open and people, there's room. There is room for them to come in and be a part and to grow and to experience the life of Christ and be a part of things that are in this, in the life of this church, the growing life of this church. We don't want to put a buffer zone that's comfortable. We have to make sure that we can overcome sometimes our own resistance to hospitality. So it's important to tell people that we're glad that you're here. And I am going to tell back, because a couple months ago I mentioned Rosario Butterfield. I don't remember if you remember that testimony I shared, but I want to come back to it. She did write a book. What was the title of the book?
The Gospel Comes with a House.
The Gospel Comes with a House Key. I couldn't remember the title. And it's really, she talks about evangelism through hospitality. The saying, you know, there's a saying, people don't care what you know, right? And so they know that you care. And see, hospitality is big on this to show that I'm not necessarily wanting anything from you. I just want to show the love of God. I just want to show you that you matter, that you have value, that you're important. You're important to God. So absolutely, that means you are important to us. Rosario Butterfield was a literature professor who taught at Syracuse. She was a gay activist and a lesbian. She hated the Christian right because they hated her. She didn't understand why so many Christians despised people from her lifestyle. She said she had great community, meaning the community that she was in, the gay community, was very supportive, meaning the doors of the gay community were open every night. She had somewhere to go every night. Now, it was a broken community, but they were there for each other. And she felt accepted. But she was going to do a project. She wanted to write a book on the religious right and why they despised gay people. And she did research. And in the research, she talked to Christians. And one of the Christians that she got a hold of was a pastor in her town from a Presbyterian church who wrote her. And then she responded. And then they got together and said, hey, would you be part of my research? Meaning, I need to ask you questions as a pastor, a Christian pastor. They invited her into their home, the couple. And they just dialogued. They talked. And it became one of those things where, at the end, they said, we enjoyed this. Would you come back next week? So she came back every week for 2 years. And they talked about anything. It was an open table. Anything went. Any question they had. They didn't change their beliefs. They didn't try to please her with trying to change their beliefs to please her. But they talked about Scripture. They talked about God. They talked about community. They talked about, and they were real with her. And they loved her. And they welcomed her into their home. She never stepped foot in a church for those 2 years. But during her project, she read the Bible. And then she would bring her questions about the Bible to the pastor and his wife. And they would talk. But through that, she saw Jesus in the Bible. And she saw Jesus through people. And when those two things came together, she realized that this Jesus is real. And she accepted, not in church, she accepted Christ because of her encounter in the Word of God and with these people of God. It was really only after that she started going to church. Even though she still had these issues, she still had problems, she still felt those gay desires in her, she started leaving that lifestyle and God transformed her life. Now she's the wife of a pastor of a church, living totally free from that lifestyle with a family and kids of her own. God's totally changed her life. But she said it was Christian hospitality that really opened up the meaning of the gospel to her. I'll put a link to her testimony on our Word Out Wednesday. Powerful stuff. Christian hospitality can open people's hearts that other things won't do. Because they feel loved. They feel valued. They feel that they're cared for. They feel like they're welcomed. And we can do it outside these walls as much as we can do it inside the walls of the church. In fact, I think that's where it's going to be more impactful, when it starts out there. People that we would maybe never see ever darken the door of a church, because they have some preconceived notions. And sometimes we have our preconceived notions about other people. But if we would approach and say, I don't know this person, but God loves them, and God has a purpose for their life. I don't know what it is, but I just want them to know that they have value in God's eyes. So, the ministry of hospitality. You may see it a little differently today. I don't know. But my prayer is that each of us, and I'm challenged in this, can be more open of our lives to invite other people in, to bless them, to love them, to care for them, and just show God's goodness, His grace, His mercy, His kindness, a lending ear, a caring hand. May we show excellent hospitality.